Doctors for the Environment Australia is very concerned about the potential health impacts of unconventional gas developments, which includes the process of hydraulic fracturing, but we have broader concerns about the process as well. Overall, we're concerned that the current assessment, monitoring and regulation of unconventional gas isn't adequate to protect the health of current and future generations of Australians. And for that reason, Doctors for the Environment Australia and other organisations such as the Australian Medical Association, or AMA, have called on Australian governments to make sure that there are rigorous and independent health risk assessments of unconventional gas projects before they go ahead. But we're concerned that both federal governments and most state governments aren't responding adequately to the advice from health organisations about the risks of unconventional gas.
And why is that? Why don't you think they would listen to that? Isn't that their responsibility in some way?
It's a really good question. One issue is that the evidence around this area is still emerging, but the evidence is getting stronger as each year passes by. And one of the things that we see when a new practice is introduced or when there's a new environmental hazard, whether it's smoking or asbestos, is that to start with, health professionals are concerned, but we don't have the rigorous scientific evidence that we need to be certain that there's a problem. So for many years, health professionals have been warning about the risks of associated with unconventional gas, and particularly in relation to chemical contamination, both of water and of air. But it's really over the last couple of years that good quality, rigorous scientific studies have been emerging that show both that that chemical contamination does occur, but also that it's a risk to human health. And that evidence is really starting to become very well established.
Exactly. And you know what? To me, risks, talking about risk is enough. I don't need evidence and facts if I know there's a risk.
Mm.
So what is it with politicians? Why aren't they listening to risks?
Mm. Well, I mean, it isn't just risk. We know that there is a risk, but we also know that there are now numerous studies that show contamination of water at and around sites that have been extensively mined for unconventional gas. We know that there are failures of well casing integrity, so that the areas down which chemicals are pumped, but also chemicals from the coal seam tight gas or shale seam come up again through these wells. And we know that the studies show that there's a failure rate for those well casings, which ranges somewhere between 1.9 and 75%.
That's a big range, yeah.
It's a big range. But these studies are coming out now that show this. On average, an area in the US that had over 6,000 wells, the average well failure or number of wells that were reported for a failure was around between 6 and 7%. So, you know, there's a significant failure of those well casings.
So what happens to people and to animals? What are the, you know, symptoms when we get this poison in our bodies?
Mm. Well, I guess the thing is that a lot of the issues are potentially long-term issues. So, for example, some of the chemicals that we're concerned about are chemicals called BTEX, and that includes the chemical benzene and other chemicals such as toluene, ethylene and xylene. Now, they're both used in fracking fluids sometimes, but also those chemicals are naturally existing underground. So when that area is disturbed through the process of hydraulic fracturing or horizontal drilling or other forms of unconventional gas extraction, those chemicals can be released into the surrounding waterways, but they can also be released, they can also be coming up with produced water and the material that's coming up from the wells. Now, that can get into water, but it can also make its way into air through the practices of venting or flaring, or just through gas escaping in the process of being commercially produced. So we know that those chemicals are carcinogenic. For example, benzene is known to contribute to risk of leukemia in the long term, even at very small concentrations. And a recent study out of the US showed that people living within half a mile of shale gas wells had a higher lifetime risk of cancer, as well as other non-cancer health effects. So we know that those chemicals are there, And we know that people are at greater risk as a result of exposure through air and potentially through water as well.
Now, Merin, we talk about the people that live there. What about the workers, the people that every day are faced breathing in, inhaling these chemicals as well? They're going to have to be affected by that too, aren't they?
It's absolutely true that the risk of chemicals really does depend on the way that you're exposed. So whether you're breathing it in, whether you're eating or drinking it, whether your skin's exposed to the chemical. But it also depends on the concentration and the duration of exposure. So we would expect that people who are working in close proximity to those sites would potentially be exposed both to a higher concentration because they're closer to the source, but also might be exposed for a considerable length of time because they're working close to that equipment day by day. I would point out, though, that people who are living close to wells are potentially there 24 hours a day, and that includes, you know, children who are particularly vulnerable to the impact of pollution.
Yeah, we hear about bleeding from the ears or all sorts of strange things from coming up from the Queensland territories where they're fracking.
Yeah, there's certainly been a cluster of health effects that have been reported around the town of or around the area of Tara in Queensland, and we're concerned that those haven't been adequately investigated at this stage. So there are a group of residents who are living in essentially in what's now an industrial gas field in around the area of Tara, and there have been a range of complaints from residents there, from skin rashes, blood noses, headaches, lethargy, and more. Unfortunately, there haven't actually been any studies to establish exactly what kind of air pollutants or water pollutants that those people might be being exposed to, and there haven't been comprehensive health studies of those people who are exposed either. So from our perspective, that is an issue that hasn't been fully investigated and certainly warrants further attention, and it is in keeping with the issues that we're concerned about in terms of the potential health impacts.